Hello there. Welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with the mighty Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell will be here as well. And we have the usual, I think, pretty cool lineup tonight. Glad you are with us. And if you have comments or suggestions or even complaints, you can let us know at msonewsports@gmail.com. Tonight. Wasn't that, what was that in? West Side Story?
Tonight.
You know, speaking of composers that I don't like, Aaron Copland. I don't like Aaron Copland. I just don't like it at all. All that
the American.
Yeah,
trilogy,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah. I just
you
don't
like that?
Not
oh
at
God.
All.
Yeah.
I know, and people just eat that up like ice cream. Nope, I can't stand it. And I hear it on the radio. Oh, whoop! I got to have something else. But
you're unpatriotic.
Well, that's what Vladimir Trump would say. So, I mean, yeah. No question.
I may have to turn you in. I could be a hero.
I know. That's right. Well, William Lower the Bar would love to have you, check in with
him. Now he's actually, they're looking into the information that Rudy provided. You've got to be kidding me.
And
no one can bring suit against any politician during this election season unless he personally okays it.
Well,
okay.
As I said, Vladimir.
So let's close the ranks and chop off heads.
Vladimir Trump, and you got Vladimir Trump and William Lower the Bar and Moscow Mitch. Moscow Mitch, yeah. Midnight in Moscow Mitch. But anyway, let's get back to the thing at hand here. We digress. Chris Wells, the Marblehead High School hockey coach, the very successful hockey coach this season and several seasons, will be with us this evening as headers head into the state tournament. And we'll get his take on how things are going. I want to talk to him a little bit about that game against Gloucester Wednesday night, because that was a thing to behold. Andrew Jackson, coach of Masconomet High School, they're in first place over in the Cape Ann League. They've taken that league since the beginning. They're in charge there. They be the boss, and we'll talk with Andrew Jackson about his kids, his players, and what's heading into the tournament. He's lined up two out of the last 3 weeks. He's lined up Division I school, two out of the last three games, I should say, coming up. He's lined up Division I schools, so we'll talk to him about that. Gary Larrabee will be checking in. I'm guessing he'll have some stories about local folk as well as the PGA at Pebble Beach this past weekend. Going to be fun talking with Mike Grenier about the Celtics again, because the Celtics continue, and we decided we're going to talk a little bit more frequently about them as long as they're doing so well. Bill Newell is going to be covering, he's actually at Beverly High School's gym, Marblehead playing Beverly in girls basketball this evening, and we'll talk with Bill at the end of the hour. Big game there. So that's the lineup for this evening. Tim Kearns is with us. I guess the Mookie Betts trade is complete. I don't know if it's been signed, sealed, and delivered, but I rank it right up there, and probably this is a bit of a stretch, but it's to me it's right up there with Babe Ruth.
Well, you know, when it was... Well, you know, Mookie's not a pitcher, but if you put him on the mound, he'd probably do a great job. But, you know, you had Babe Ruth breaking out as a home run hitter early in his career. He was a pitcher, led the Red Sox to a couple of World Series early on. And then in order to pay for some Broadway shows... Babe Ruth was sold to New York, and No No Nanette went on to become a very famous New York stage play, and Babe Ruth went on to become even a more famous baseball player. Trading Mookie at this point in his career, I think he's 27. He's over the last couple of years, he has firmly established himself as a star, a rising star as soon as he appeared on the scene. Great arm, base stealing abilities, great base runner, period. Hit for power, 30 plus home runs, 30 stolen bases, clutch in the field, clutch at bat. You know, he was a reason not to go to the bathroom when you were watching a Red Sox game. You know, you went without that beer for 8 or 9 pitches to see what Mookie might do, because the possibility of him doing something big was always present, especially in clutch situations. And I heard one of the guys on Network Radio saying this week, he can't hit to the opposite field. Well, that's funny. I watched highlights the other night, and there he was driving a ball down the right field line off the pesky pole for a home run. Well, that takes an awful lot of power. You know, it's only 310 down there. But, I mean, you still got to, you know, you still got to drive it the opposite field. And he does hit to the opposite field. If pitchers are going to make the mistake early in the count, middle in, he's taking the ball where he's supposed to hit it. If they pitched him more away, he would drive the ball away. But he's an above 300 average hitter. So he hits for average. He hits for power. He's one of the league leaders in hits every year. How much more do you want the kid to do? Well, he doesn't hit to the opposite field. Get your head out of the sand and watch some games. Well, and just don't, you know, think, okay, I'll say this and see if it sticks. Because it doesn't.
He won't be doing that with the Red Sox anymore. And I think the analogy is good. You talk about, you know, to fund a Broadway show, and the Red Sox are dumping money to, I don't know, to fund Liverpool maybe, or whoever, or the Globe. I don't know.
That's an interesting take, because as crazy as the Red Sox seem to be right now, and so discombobulated, the sports group... Owns Liverpool. They own the Red Sox as well, John Henry Sports Group, and they are just killing it in the English Premier League. They're running away with it. They lead with, I think it's maybe a half a dozen games left. They lead by 22 points, which is ridiculous. Mm. They lost the title last year to Man City by 1 point on the last day of the season. They come out this year determined not to let that happen again, not to go too far off into soccer. But, I mean, for as messed up, and maybe it's because John Henry is 3,000 miles away across the Atlantic, you know, and he has nothing to do with the
team. It's just that, you know, you wouldn't let Larry Bird go. You wouldn't let Bill Russell go. You know, you wouldn't let Pedro Martinez go. For relatively nothing. You're not getting a lot in return here. You know, and the whole idea to get rid of David Price, they trade, you know, a league MVP. I just don't get it on that hand. On the other hand,
if the Dodgers wanted Mookie, they were going to have to take David Price. But still, it's half price for them. Well, the Red Sox are paying 50% of his salary and the next 3 years.
But the other side of the coin, and I've talked with Dan, just, you know, when we talk sports, talk. The other side of the coin is, it's very, you know, where does it end? When does it stop? I can't identify with these athletes. I don't know what common person can. When you turn down $300 million, according to reports, you turn down $300 million to play a game. Hmm. In that case, I'd say, okay, bye-bye. And here's the thing, Tim. So now, as far as I'm concerned, I'll be a pink hat. If they win, great, I'll watch them. If they don't win, I ain't watching them. That's it. Yeah. Too bad.
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna pay money to go see them.
No, and yet, you know, they'll have lots of sellouts. You know,
oh yeah.
Every game will be sold out throughout the course of
they're a New England team
of the year.
Yep.
And so people are gonna go, you know, besides the Patriots, they're the biggest team. So we will see. And they better get off to a fast start. And they better be competitive. I mean, the pitching lineup: Chris Sale, Eduardo Rodriguez, and name the next three guys.
Yeah, whoever you can find.
Exactly.
All right, we'll be right back. We've got to get started here, get off to a fast start ourselves. We're going to talk to Chris Wells, Marblehead hockey coach, in the fast start they got off to last Wednesday against Gloucester. We'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we are back now with Marblehead hockey coach Chris Wells. And, Coach, before I even let you say anything, I got to talk about last Wednesday against Gloucester. You know, in talking before the game, you said, well, we've got to get off to a fast start. We've let ourselves get behind a little bit. You can't get a better start than two goals in the first minute and 20 seconds in each of the first two periods. So how'd you do it?
Did you, Coach, did you pay less attention throughout the rest of the game, figuring it worked once, could work again?
No, not quite. Not the way we've been playing at times. But that was definitely good to see, and we kind of, the rest of the evening. So it was about time, basically.
Well, you know, the thing is, I missed the second goal because I was writing down the first one on my score sheet, and the same thing happened, and I missed the first goal too, because I think there was a whole bunch of people in front of the net on the first one, as I recall. And the second one, I was.
I think I'm looking at film. I think it did look like something like that.
Yeah, and then the second one, I was writing down the first one, and Nick Kukru was working with us, and Nick said, "There's another one," and then the same thing happened. You know, Chris, if it's so easy, how come you just? What's the problem here? That's a joke, Chris.
Sometimes, sometimes you want to go and create havoc, and then other times we just kind of want to, I guess, go through the motions. But it was nice to see, the guys came out hard for that
one.
That was obviously a big game. Boston had been playing so well, and it was just kind of good for us to get that lead early and let's work with this rest of the game.
You know, I think even more important or as important, Coach, was the third period. You absolutely put the clamps on Gloucester in that third period. They couldn't do anything. They were skating in sand.
Yeah, I mean, that was, even after we got up to a 2-0 lead, Gloucester, they clawed their way back and they started playing some pretty good hockey. And, I went in the locker room and said, guys, this is far from over. I thought the second period we came out again. We scored a couple quick goals. I really think that late goal at the end of the second kind of deflated them. And in the third period, you're right. That was one of our better periods of the season. They couldn't do anything. So it was a good effort overall at a time when we needed a good effort.
Coach, as you go into a game like that against Gloucester, where again they were right on your tail in terms of the conference lead. I think they actually in conference had a better record, but not the overall record. They were undefeated. And how do you message the kids? Because I coached for a long time, too. And you go to the other guy's rink, and the Tank is notorious as a Death Valley for a lot of teams that go in and they get intimidated just by the surroundings. How do you message the kids about, okay, where we at? Because we've done a lot of good things this year. Don't let these guys get on top of you right away. Get them first. And they managed to do that.
Yeah, we going into it, just say, hey, look at, we got, this many conference games left. We got a couple of teams, Danvers and Gloucester, are right on us. We just kind of go out and find a way to win a hockey game, really. And, you don't focus as much on everybody else, I guess, as you just we got to fix our problems, start doing what we need to do to win hockey games, and I think it'll just take care of itself.
One of the things coaches always tell us is that, you want to keep improving. You want to improve. It's hard to do in high school. Obviously, in the pros, it's a little bit different. But, 3-2, 4-2, and now 5-2, and your team has just played so well lately.
Yeah, this past week was a good week for us. We've been on the road quite a bit in January and, had some bumps in the road, had some games where we just really showed a lack of effort, lack of compete. But those are two good wins against two good programs at a time when we needed it. And, yes, that's good to see coming into, this final week of the season.
And I don't want to talk down any team, needless to say, but coming up, the competition is not like some of the other competition that you have faced. What's the plan now in terms of facing Saugus, Swampscott, Nantucket? What's the plan with your guys? I know that, again, Coach Ingram in football always said, it doesn't matter who we're playing, we're going to play the opponent as though it's a Super Bowl opponent.
You look at Saugus, I know they're down. Games like that actually honestly scare me more than anything. Cause, we can get caught sleeping. And last year we struggled with Saugus. We tied them and lost to them. So it's kind of I hope the guys are going to show up. Especially at this point, we win. I think we win the conference. So hopefully we show up, we take care of business. We got Swampscott on Saturday. That's a rivalry game, so you can just throw out any type of records out window there. That's going to be tight. And then talking about, you look at it, I looked at them, it looks like they're having a little better year than they normally have. We played, Bedford, Mass, who's a Division III team, and they're one of the better Division III teams, and they took it to us pretty good. So, Nantucket, I know, up there in the rankings and in the Division III, so we can't take anybody lightly.
Mm-hmm.
Coach, I want to go back a couple of weeks, and Danvers ties you guys 3-3, and they just came off a game against Gloucester, in which they were down by a couple of goals, and in the last couple of minutes, they managed to pull out a tie against Gloucester at 3-3. So Danvers has it in them to really play up to the bigger games here in the second half of the season. What did you guys take out of the Bishop Feehan loss? That was 4-1. Was that kind of a slap up the side of the head to some of the guys that they came back and performed so well this past week?
Yeah, I mean, the Bishop Feehan game, 4-1 is, that game could have been 8-1. Bishop Feehan took it to us for three periods. We had no answer. They dominated every aspect of the game. It was basically a waste of a day to go down there and put up that type of effort. And I just said, guys, we gotta figure this out. Inconsistent play is just killing us, and it's just gonna kill us, and it's gonna end our season. So we come back with two great games, two good wins. So hopefully we can just keep riding this wave right into the playoffs.
Is there a player, Coach, is there a player that maybe is the most improved so far this season? I know it's hard to single somebody out, but your kids have been playing so well, that they've been playing well as a team. You rolled out everybody against Gloucester, but is there maybe a lesser star or a kid who maybe isn't a star who is you see great improvement and he's reliable for you?
I got two guys for you. Both obviously don't get a ton of the spotlight. On defense, JT Monahan, he's really improved this year.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into the season, physically, he improved his body, got in better shape. He's starting to see the game better. Just been really solid there back on defense. And up front, Colin Hart, he kind of always is overshadowed by someone on his line. But, honestly, he plays a pretty smart game. He's a playmaker. He's the guy that's getting those guys to puck to score the goals, like the Scholes and the Pearsall. And he plays a smart game. He plays a little chippy physical game. He can get underneath your skin without get penalties. And he's a really smart player and done a great job this year. I think he deserves a lot of credit for what he's done this year.
Well, how important was it having Will Scheld back in the lineup now?
It was right away the other night against Gloucester, I was like, wow, I forgot, this kid's pretty good. It was nice having him back, and I think the guys, just the way the season was going, he came back at a good time to give everybody a little lift here. He's been around the team, but it's different when, he's just sitting there in street clothes. Instead, you got the pad up, and I think the guys responded well, and it was a good look to see, and he adds so much as far as on and off ice to our team.
It's like picking up a star at the trade deadline. Pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
also, Coach, he gives the opposing coach, the opposing players, something that they have to consider once he steps onto the ice that they know you guys haven't had for a while, and certainly the quality of the play and the talent that he possesses. They're skating backwards, and they got one eye trying to find where he is, and the other coach is trying to go, okay, we have to keep this guy. Every time he steps on the ice, you've got to find where he is because he's going to find himself in a position to score a goal.
Yeah, I mean, with him back in the lineup, it gives us a great 1-2 punch because we send out Scholes' line and then we come right back with Pearsall's line. So now it's Pearsall was kind of getting, shadowed as the season went on and said, all right, that's the guy to watch. But now with Scholes back, I've got two lines that are very deadly. And I think this level, that's good to have. I got two guys and two lines that can put the puck in the back of the net with no problem.
In certain situations, do you throw them out there together just to really agonize an opposing coach?
Well, it's actually funny to say that because Colin Hart's like, why don't you put me with Will and Pearsall on a line? I said, well, that's one of those situations when we really need it. We need a goal. We'll stay the course for now.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, Coach, put me in with with Guy Lafleur and Rocket Richard. I'll play with them. That's cool. Hey, Coach, thank you so much. Congratulations. We'll check in with you before the tournament starts.
All right, guys. Great talking to you.
Thanks, Chris. Take care.
Best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you very much.
That is Chris Wells. He's the Marblehead High School hockey coach, and they have improved. I mean, you can see the improvement from the beginning of the year to now, and they continue to improve. And they're just solid. They've got big defensemen who can move, and two big lines. They're doing very well. I think the conference will be well represented in the NEC. We're going to go over to the Cape Ann League here in just a minute. We'll take a quick break and then check in with Masquinaman High School hockey coach Andrew Jackson here in just a second. So please stay with us. This is North Shore Sports Night.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of Cape Ann Savings Bank, serving the Cape Ann community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, CapeAnnSavings.bank.
Member FDIC. Member DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
All right, we're back now with Masquinaman High School hockey coach Andrew Jackson. And Coach, welcome back to MSO. Congratulations. A win over North Reading. The score is a little bit closer than I thought it might be, so give me a little thumbnail on that one.
Yeah. Same here. I mean, they played well. We knew they were going to come out hard because they're fighting for the playoff spot, which I think they'll probably get in the next week. But it's always tough facing teams within the league second time around. You know, they know our tendencies and vice versa, so the scores always seem to be a little tighter, but you know, give them a lot of credit. They put a lot of pressure on us and you know, forced us to out of our comfort zone at times, so kudos to them. And it was our senior day. I feel like there's always some added nerves for our seniors on senior day. They want to perform at a high level and put a little more added pressure on themselves, but eventually it was our seniors that came through. Kirby Glenn and Peyton DeFeo had really big games for us up front, so it was good to see.
What about the Triton game? What did you guys learn from that? Because that was a close one, a good one, and they're a tough team.
Yeah, they're very good. Ryan and I spoke after the game. We're like, I think we're two of the top teams, you know, D2 in the North here, and that was a battle. It was just kind of who scored last in that game. I thought both teams played very physical, really disciplined, and it was one of those games where we really could have gone either way. And fortunately, we were able to put in a few more than them. But I mean, they have a very good team, very deep too.
Your team defense, coach, in the league is ridiculous. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, there was a stretch there when we were letting up one or zero goals a game. We really pride ourselves on defense, and obviously it starts with the goaltending out, and we've had some really good goaltending this year from Tucker Hansen and Shane D'Agostino, but
And we got three senior D that are returning for at least 3 years of varsity, Matt Elliott, Jack Corcoran, and Sean Callahan. So they're really, you know, the pillars back there that lead our younger defensemen and really build the culture back there of defense first. They're not really too worried about their points. They're worried about keeping it out of the net.
Yeah, but you also have to have, with that kind of defense, don't you have to have forwards who come back and do the job as well?
Yep, totally. Our team speed, you know, we're not as big as we were last year, but we might be a little faster than we are. We're overall, you know, especially with our top nine forwards this year.
Mm-hmm.
And our back pressure has been tremendous as well, you're right. It really is a five-man unit, or six-man unit with the goalie, but our back pressure is, some of our guys take really, really, you know, take pride in that, and wanting to deny and, you know, make sure their plus-minus is intact and taking care of our D-zones.
You know, I'm looking at your schedule, man, for the next three games. You ain't got no marshmallows in there, do you?
No, sir. No, sir. we always try and, you know, schedule tough to ramp up, hopefully, going into the tournament. You know, that's always been kind of our show. We didn't qualify for the tournament. We actually played Arlington the last game of the year and lost 2-0. So, lesson learned, maybe don't schedule that tough in your first year. But we like to make it difficult in the end to, you know, try and simulate that added pressure and speed in tournament games.
You know, Coach, and certainly Damers presents a whole new dynamic with their recent games against both Marblehead and Gloucester, where they tied 3-3, and it was more reminiscent of the Damers teams in the past that just had the ability to keep coming at you, keep pressure on there, and find goals. And in both situations, they found a way to steal a point from those confrontation between two of the top teams in the Northeast Conference.
Yeah. I was actually following those games, I think, on Twitter as they were happening. I was like, oh my gosh, they're going to come back again. And that's what you want, especially with league opponents. You want those, you know, fun games that are back and forth late in the game. It can be stressful as a coach, but they're sure fun to watch. We have them on Monday, the holiday, so we know that's going to be a tough game. It always is.
You know,
about us the last couple of years, so we're going to be gearing up for that one.
You guys started out strong, and you've maintained excellence throughout the season. But what are you most pleased with, Coach, in terms of improvement for your team since the preseason to now?
Our guys haven't really gotten rattled. You know, we have gone down a couple times in games, and I think just like their trust in each other and confidence that someone's going to pick us up. You know, we don't have that 40-point scorer this year. We don't have that one D or one forward that we're really relying on. We're relying on our depth, and, you know, our leadership's been bar none, probably the best group that we've ever had. So they really, you know, they're a steadying influence on some of our younger guys, you know, especially when we go down a goal or even down two goals, you know, a couple weeks ago against Newburyport, kind of weathered the storm and just stick with their plan of, you know, just basically hard work and outworking and outskating the other team, and it's been working. It's nice to see from teenagers.
All right, and you've got Westford at home on Wednesday, is it?
Correct, yeah. Actually, they're about to face off in 30 minutes against Andover. And they need 2 points for the tournament, so Westford's going to be hungry. They play a real grueling D1 schedule, so sometimes their record isn't always indicative of the kind of team they have, but they're going to be good. They're fast. They're skilled. So that'll be a tough one Wednesday. We're looking forward to it.
Well, Coach, congratulations on a great season so far, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week, either earlier in the week or later in the week for our other program, and I'd like to maybe talk to one of your captains, or if that's okay with you at that point.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We'd love that.
Super. Okay, Coach, good luck this week. We'll talk to you later, and thank you so much.
Right. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Rick.
Yep, take care. That is Andrew Jackson, who is the coach of Masconomet, and they just You know, they started with their the accelerator on the floor, and they've pushed it right through the floor.
Yeah, they're averaging. They've played 15 games overall. They're was 14-2-1, and the two conferences were losses were out of conference, and they've scored 72 goals in those contests. They're averaging basically 5 goals a game, and they've given up 23.
They've given up 3 goals. That's the most they've given up twice this season. That's it. And they're a power. And
yeah, looking at the schedule, and he was talking about the shutouts. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. In 11 of their 14 wins, they've given up one or less goals.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yep.
sick.
Yep. They're all over the place.
And that's having great goaltending at the back end, but also having a defense and forwards when they're coming back up who, again, are aware of their responsibilities.
It's the whole shooting match. Now, are you ready for the next interview?
I am ready for Gary.
Are you ready for Gary?
I am ready.
All right. Gary, here he comes. All right, we'll take a break.
PGA and LPGA.
Gary Larrabee's next.
Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Looking to score big on your savings this season? Open a CD savings or money market account at Institution for Savings. This is the perfect time to earn funds for your future, and our rates are among the best. Stop by one of our offices in Amesbury, Beverly, Boxford, Gloucester, Hamilton, Ipswich, Middleton, Newburyport, Rockport, Rowley, Salem, Salisbury, and Topsfield. Or visit us online at institutionforsavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF. North Shore Today is MSO News Sports daily local news podcast with news from all around the North Shore. The Post also shares a note on the weather, local photos, notices, and our video of the day. Check it out daily, North Shore Today.
All right, we're back with Gary Larrabee now talking some golf. Gary, how you doing?
Doing great. How about you guys?
I'm doing great. Coach is ready for you.
I'm ready for him.
All right. Okay. I know that, I guess... The only thing I know was that my wife and I were out to dinner this week, and they had golf on TV. I think it was Saturday night. It was Pebble Beach, and it looked nice. The sun was out, you know, late evening, and that's all I know.
I think they get almost as high of ratings on weekends as any of the four majors because so much of the country is in cold weather and can't go out and play golf, and the fact that it's such a spectacular setting... I'm sure they got great ratings this weekend because it was gorgeous both weekend telecasts, and we had Phil Mickelson up there at the top of the leaderboard, and a pretty dramatic finish yesterday, Tim.
Yes, it was. You know, I think when a lot of the older people think of Pebble Beach, they're automatically drawn back to Bing Crosby.
No question, and I mean this tournament is unlike any other tournament on the PGA Tour. We always think of Ben Eastwood semi-catatonic on TV yesterday at the end of the telecast, like he always is. But you couldn't have a Sunday afternoon telecast of the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, without Eastwood. Just like in the old days, they didn't do it without Phil Harris. And before,
right, okay. Phil Harris. Oh, my God, yeah.
And Crosby before, but the fact remains, guys, it was an interesting... show yesterday for more reasons than one, and of course the amazing young Nick Taylor, who hadn't won like in 5 years for his first win, comes up 5 years later and leads wire to wire, and nearly blowing a 5-stroke lead on the back nine yesterday to Mickelson, but Mickelson proved he had too many muscles in his arms the way he was overshooting greens on those last nine holes. That was probably a little bit of a gift for Taylor, but still it was good to see Phil in the hunt, and maybe that bodes well for Phil down the stretch as he approaches his 50th birthday.
Well, you know, Gary, Taylor shot, he was under par on all four rounds. What were the weather conditions out there? Because, you know, on Pebble Beach, you're right on the coast, and usually the winds can play some havoc with course conditions.
Well, it certainly did yesterday afternoon. That's why Taylor backed up and Mickelson backed up, because the numbers were good the first 3 days. It was beautiful weather, I guess, all weekend. And, of course, you're playing three different courses. And, of course, Taylor shot a 63 and then a 66, which you don't typically see out there at the Monterey Peninsula. But another example, Tim, as we've talked over and over again, this guy has not been in anyone's conversation for several years, and here he shows up over the weekend and controls the tournament, fights off Phil Mickelson and a few other guys, and another example of how there are so many guys out there who can break through for one weekend. And this weekend was Nick Taylor's, to say the least. He only won $1.4 million. Still a good weekend for him, to say the least.
Yeah, not a bad day for 4 days' work. Yeah, you know, as I went through and I was reviewing the data on online, I'm thinking, okay, here's another a basic no name on the tour emerging, and again winning a very prestigious turn. His other win in 2014 was one that nobody has any familiarity with, but boy, to step up big on this stage and take away Pebble Beach, boy, that's a career worth of memories on one weekend.
No question. But you know, like I just said, and like we've said so many times before, you never know who's going to pop up and take over for a weekend's action. And this was Nick Taylor's time, and the fact that he could fight off Mickelson the way he did and nearly blow his lead on the back nine and then chip in for the second time in the round, I think on 15, if I'm not mistaken, to get back up to, I think, to a 3 or 4 shot lead. And right now it's Nick Taylor's day in the sun, and we move on this weekend to Riviera and the L.A. Open, the Genesis Open. Tiger's back in the field, and I think we're all looking forward to another weekend of exciting golf.
Yeah, it sure, and it just really, you know, again, from here it just begins to ramp up as the time gets, the weather gets better, the time gets closer for these guys to move back to the Midwest and the eastern part of the country to start playing their golf and getting ready for the Masters, which will be here before we know it.
Yeah, it's still about two months away, but we hope it's a quick 2 months.
I know.
But of course, we should also mention that Rob Oppenheim, good for Rob Oppenheim, a Salem-born Andover bred, made the cut. After missing the cut 2 weeks ago, he took last week off, and he made 26 grand, I guess. Didn't play badly, just in the middle of the pack, but made the cut and made a few bucks, and I think he's playing at L.A. this week, and we'll see if he continues his journey.
Okay, and you know, one of the things I noticed in the new summary is they were talking about, you know, Taylor being the poster boy now for Canadian golf, and his victory may hope to spread the popularity of the game and get more youngsters in Canada involved in the game.
Very good point. You know, the first PGA Tour champion from Canada since Mike Ware, which goes back several years. One of his victories, of course, was the Masters. You know, there's a lot of golf being played in Canada these days, and there's a few more Canadians coming down to play on the American college scene, and you never know where the next PGA Tour champion is going to come from, Tim.
That's all right. Okay, Gary, let's jump to Australia in the LPGA at the ISPS Handewitt Open.
Does anybody care?
Well, it's an interesting format because the guys and women play at the same time.
That's true. And, of course, we saw the winner on the women's side was Hee Young Park, and on the men's side it was Min Won Lee. So real famous names making the winner's circle in that category. But another example of the Asians having an impact.
Yeah, you know, and when I saw who the winner was, I said, okay, everything's right in the golf universe because an Asian has won the ladies' tournament again.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, but shifting gears just for a second, guys, not to take any thunder away from anyone else, but we love exciting golf, of course, but nothing matched the excitement we saw. If you guys watched any, I know you guys are hockey Christians, or at least I know Rick is. If you saw any of that Duke North Carolina men's basketball game on ESPN Saturday night from 6 to 8:30. Was one of the all-time classics in their rivalry. Do you guys are aware of that at all?
I read about it, Gary. I didn't see it, but I read about it.
Well, you know, North Carolina having a terrible season, and they were leading by 13 points with like 6 or 7 minutes to go. They blow their lead, and Duke makes a very difficult shot right before the buzzer to force overtime, and then North Carolina has a chance to win in overtime and has a 5 or 6 point lead. They lose that lead, and of course, Duke went on to win the game at the end, but that, gentlemen, is why we love college basketball, that game there.
Well, did you see where Bobby Knight was honored back at the University of Indiana this week?
Yeah, he said he would never go back, and there he was, because I'm sure something was very convincing to get him back, and not my favorite person, but he does leave a major legacy in the history of American college basketball.
Well, what I like about Krzyzewski back at Duke is you remember when I think it was Derek Z. Jackson used to write for the Boston Globe. He always put in there the colleges, the athletic programs at the end of the college season in June or May.
Graduation rate.
Yeah, and Duke up until, you know, the way the draft is now, but Duke was always right up there around 100%.
And that's in part a reflection of the coach. Of course, you know, Krzyzewski is always operates with dignity and respect for his rival coaches and players, and one of the great faces in college basketball all these years. You may not like the way he wins so much, gets all the best players, but that's another very positive mark on his record. The graduation rate. These kids just don't go there to play basketball.
Well, you know, it's one of the things. It's a very, you know, tough academic school, and I'm sure there are a lot of parents that understand his philosophy, and they look at that graduation rate and they go, okay, you know, my son may not play professional basketball, but he's going to go out, get out of school with a degree and be able to get a job.
Probably yes, and that's you know, Duke is like the Harvard of the South, and getting better every day. And that reminds me, Stephen DeLisio getting ready to be final season, the spring season of his 4-year golf career at Duke from Salem Country Club in Swampscott, St. John's Prep. And let's wish Stephen the very best as he begins the spring season this month, I believe, for the Duke University Blue Devils.
And speaking of St. John's Prep, Pat Connaughton will be the subject of our Mike Grenier interview coming up next, because Connaughton's going to be in the slam dunk contest.
Outstanding. Imagine that. There aren't too many white boys who play in that slam dunk contest, but Connaughton's doing a lot of good things right and having an exceptional career that I don't think too many of us expected him to have. And he's on like the best team right now, right, guys? So that's kind of exciting too.
Yeah, and he's been a major contributor. What I didn't know is that he had a 44-inch vertical leap.
Which I know. I always know he's a great athlete, you know, a great pitcher up at the Prep. And but yes, he is an exceptional athlete and marvelously gifted athletically. And when was the last time a white guy won the slam dunk competition in the NBA?
We know Larry Bird never did it.
No. Hey, Gary, I'm not sure about next week because it is a holiday, but if not, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Look forward to it, guys.
Thank you so much,
Gary.
All right,
Gary, be good.
Bye.
Gary Larrabee here on MSO News Sports on North Shore Sports Night, and we will talk to Mike Grenier next, so let's not delay. Let me take a quick break and get Mike right on the phone. We'll be right back.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen print, our face. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. Catch the big names in North Shore news and sports on MSO News Sports Podcasts, the North Shore's podcast leader for both news and sports features, connecting you to the North Shore.
All right, we're back now with the aforementioned Mike Grenier. Mike, how are you?
Excellent, you know.
You are. I tell you what, we were just talking with Gary Larrabee, and Gary mentioned Delisio, the Delisio kid playing golf down at Duke in his final season, which, of course, you know, being from St. John, that caught it. So why don't we start right there before we talk Celtics?
All right, Mike.
Sure.
Yes. I thought white men couldn't jump.
Well, you know what? Yes. I think somebody on the internet posted, Irish kids can't jump. You know, Pat Connaughton went to Notre Dame. And here's a quirky, interesting fact. Pat Connaughton, out of St. John's Prep, becomes the first Notre Dame player to be in the slam dunk contest since Orlando Woolridge in 1984-85.
All right, there you go. Wow.
Yeah, 35-30. And, you know, I remember Orlando Woolridge. He's a very good NBA player. He's 6'9", wiry guy. He didn't win it, but that was the last time a Notre Dame player was selected to be in the slam dunk contest. So.
But, you know, of all the kids that have gone through Notre Dame, Woolridge, Kelly Trepuka would not have been in the dunk contest, because he was one of those kids that white kids that couldn't jump, but he could shoot the hell out of the basket.
Right, and Adrian Dantley was a phenomenal player coming out of Notre Dame, and he was sort of like a mini Charles Barkley.
Yeah,
had a great career, but he was not a leaper. He was not a leaper. But Constance, right? I think he's going to have fun with it, guys. I think being a the fun for it for North Shore folks is to just kind of watch him, see what he does, how much fun he has with it. I think he'll treat it seriously. He'll want to compete with these three other guys that are in it. But I think that, you know, he's not gonna like go overboard and think he's the greatest person in the world if he finishes first or second. He's certainly not favored. I think the guy who's favored would put Aaron Gordon of the Orlando Magic, who's playing right now, as a matter of fact. He's a 6'9" guy who's been in this competition before and who's done exceptionally well. But, I can tell you this, 10 years ago, Pat Connaughton was a junior at St. John's Prep, and no one was even thinking of him as a potential great college player, let alone a good, solid NBA player or a guy who would participate in the NBA slam dunk contest. I mean, a lot of people never believed that he would even get a college scholarship, and at one point, just before his senior year, Bentley College was the only place that offered him a scholarship, and then he went to AAU tournament in Orlando, Florida, in the summer before his senior year, and he played so well that virtually every college stepped aboard at that point and wanted Pat Connaughton to play for them. You know.
Yeah, one of the things that I found amazing with one of the first stories that I read when it was announced that Pat had accepted the invitation to participate in the slam dunk was that he's got a 44-inch vertical leap.
Yes.
And you're like, really?
Yeah. I mean, he apparently from records that are kept by NBA analytics people, it's the highest vertical leap anyone's ever recorded at that, the so-called, whether it was like a training camp thing or, it's amazing. So he's had that reputation as a guy who's athletic, and certainly he does those things for the Bucks. You know, he comes out of nowhere. He gets more rebounds than a lot of guys his size, being 6'4". It's because he's got a nose, because he wants the ball. I mean, it kind of like is a lesson for anybody out there, any kid, high school kid from the North Shore who wants to be good. You just got to keep at it. I mean, Pat Connaughton is a perfect example of that. 6'4", and here he is excelling on a great NBA team. The Milwaukee Bucks have the best record in the NBA. And so we could segue into the Celtics here, because obviously the Celtics would love to be up there in Bucks territory, but the Bucks are 45-7, and you know the Celtics have won 10 of their last 11, right, Tim? But
yep.
Yet the Toronto Raptors, defending champions. Kawhi Leonard's not with them anymore. He's with the Clippers, but they've won 14 straight. So the Celtics have actually lost ground to the Toronto Raptors in the chase for the first spot in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference. So it's amazing what the Toronto Raptors have done. But the Celtics are really hanging tough. They have really overall the fourth best record in the NBA, behind Toronto, Milwaukee, and the Lakers, who have the best record in the Western Conference.
You know, I got to go back to Pat for one last comment. You know, while he was a student at St. John's Prep and really beginning to explode on the North Shore basketball scene, he had a great mentor who never spent any time with him personally. But yep. Pat sitting down and watching Larry Bird play day in and day out, and as you mentioned, nose for the ball. Who had a better nose for the ball during his time in the NBA than Larry Bird?
Oh, I couldn't agree more, because you look at his lack of athleticism. I mean, I'm talking, that's not a knock on, because obviously he was a great basketball player, but you would never own him being invited to the slam dunk contest. But you're right, nose for the ball. He played the angles on the, he was a terrific rebounder for his size. He rebounded over people who were much more athletic, because he just was an intelligent, cerebral player on the court. And obviously, hey, you know, the late Kobe Bryant put Larry Bird on his Mount Rushmore of the four best players he's ever seen. That was just 3 years ago, 4 years ago. He put Larry Bird, Bill Russell, Michael Jordan, and Magic Johnson as his Mount Rushmore. So that tells you the respect that Kobe Bryant had for Larry Bird.
You know, and one last comment. You watch Larry Bird slide into, like you said, playing the angles and get into a box out position. How many guys, when they showed replays, Larry, butt down, in the guy's gut, arms extended, blocking the guy off of the ball, and then grabbing it.
Yeah, oh yeah, he just had, he just relentlessly pursued excellence. I remember covering virtually all of his home games at the Boston Garden when he played. He would be out running the corridors, you know, like at the old Boston Garden. He'd be doing that like an hour before the game or 2 hours before the game, kind of running around the circumference of the Boston Garden, just to get, you know, just to sort of be ready by game time. He just put a lot of effort into it, you know, and wasn't the most athletic guy coming out of Indiana State, but boy, what a career he ended up having, and obviously dominating in many of his seasons. They won three championships, and obviously considered one of the greatest of all time.
You know, and the running around the up above the Loge stories, Magic, when the Lakers are in town playing, one day they're down on the floor during their practice time, and he heard this basketball banging on the floors, and he looked up, and it was Larry running his laps with the basketball.
Oh, yeah. And now, that was just part of his routine.
If only
this is part of his basketball DNA.
If only he had learned to pass the ball.
you talk about one of the greatest skill he might have. Well, he was a great scorer, but one of his greatest skills certainly was the way he passed the ball. I used to talk to Robert Parrish and McHale, and they used to love the way Bird put the ball, not just in their hands, but in the perfect spot to score. He just had a knack for finding people in the right spots on the floor, whether it was McHale or Parrish or Danny Ainge or any of those guys, Dennis Johnson, from that particular era.
You know, two shows you have to watch. You have to watch the 86 Celtics, and you have to watch a special on Larry Bird's career to fully appreciate the wonder that he brought to the game of just to the game of basketball itself.
Oh yeah, I mean, I wish that some of the current Celtics would be, you know, maybe they are a little bit attuned to Larry Bird, because being with the Celtics, they've heard hopefully the history of the team. But you kind of wish, Tim, that they had a video on their phones, a 2 hour, an instructive type video from Larry Bird, because there's so much they could learn from him in terms of effort, determination, being a skillful player where he was on the floor, knowing where his teammates were at all times. I mean, he could offer the current Celtics a lot. And I'm not knocking the current Celtics. Obviously, they're 37-15, and Brad Stevens has them going right now.
Mike, what do you make of the ascendance of Jason Tatum, tutored by Kobe Bryant, you know, a year or so ago, and influenced by Kobe Bryant? Still makes at least one stupid, ridiculous play per game, but he certainly makes up for it.
I think he's taken another major step forward this year. Obviously, he made the NBA All-Star team. And what I've seen lately is that he's so willing, like Larry Bird, to take the big shot late in the game, or right to him in a close game, yeah. Guys, he's willing to step up and take that the three-pointer from the corner, drive to the basket. He's excelling at driving to the basket lately and using Daniel Tice's picks underneath to get to the hoop. He's taking a lot more responsibility, and you love that because obviously he's a cornerstone of the franchise, one of the cornerstones along with Jaylen Brown and obviously Kemba Walker this year. And I think he's taking a major leap forward this year, I believe, in terms of the confidence, ability to score, and the willingness to take the ball at key times.
You know, one thing that I've noticed with the South Sea, Kemba Walker always has a smile on his face. He is just loving life in Boston right now, playing with these young guys,
Tim.
You know, he's not an old veteran, but it certainly has rejuvenated him.
No question. I think when you're with a team like Charlotte, that you don't lose. You know, every year they had no shot at winning a title or going deep into the playoffs. Or their goal was always to try to make the playoffs, and Kemba had to live with 8 years of that. And I just think he's so thrilled to be with a team that has good talent around him. He doesn't have to do it 100% of the time. He doesn't have to carry the load, although he's willing to carry the load. But he knows that even if he had on an off night, like yesterday, for example, when they beat Oklahoma City Thunder in a very good win on the road, he was 3-for-13 at one point. But then he hit his final three shots, including two huge three-pointers that kind of gave the momentum to win that game yesterday. So I think he doesn't feel overburdened. He feels like he's part of a bunch of guys who can play, and that's he's loving that comfortable feeling, and he loves the whole notion of winning, which he couldn't grasp in Charlotte because they never won consistently. He's loving the fact that hey, this team's going to go to the playoffs, and they could be a threat to anybody they play in the playoffs.
Right, and the other thing I know we're talking about Tatum. I watch his face, especially his eyes. He's like locked in. He's almost Larry Bird locked in. When Larry, during game time, Larry had this look. He had a focus. And I watch Tatum when he comes down. Whether he scores or not, he comes down. And there's just this focus, this drive. You can see it behind his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I
agree. Like I said, I think
he's there.
He's 21. He's 21 years old.
Yeah.
And he's grown. I mean, 2 years ago, he was like 19 years old, basically, as a rookie. But he wasn't a scared rookie, and he had a great start to his career. Kind of last year was kind of a little bit of a down year. He didn't make as many improvements as a lot of people figured. This year, however, like I feel like he's taking that next step to become one of the upcoming elite young player, and we're seeing that. And again, I think Tatum feels like if he's having an off night, his buddy Jaylen Brown can have a big night, or Kemba can have a big night. And Gordon Hayward, who we haven't mentioned yet, is having a very solid year. They've got like five guys in double figures right now. Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum are practically even, 22.2 and 22 points a game. And Jaylen Brown is at 21. So you got three guys there. You're getting 65, 66 points per game from those three guys. That's a pretty solid core.
Yeah, and you'd almost have to go back to the Celtics of the 80s and the early 90s when you had Bird, Parrish, McHale, DJ, and those guys,
yep,
to find the number of offensive threats that they can put on the court at one time, especially the starting five. Who are you going to guard? Who are you going to stop? Who are you going to double? Because if you double somebody, you know the other guy is going to get free.
Yeah, I agree. But listen, Tim, let me ask you a question. Who's the most maddening player on the Celtics? Meaning, you flip him sometimes, he makes a great play, then he might take a terrible shot. Then
Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart.
It's got to be Marcus. But he drives you crazy because he'll
make the biggest play of the game.
He'll miss a bunny and then come down and he'll throw in this, three from somewhere
or make a steal
of Causeway Street, and you go like, oh, come on, you got no business taking that. And yet you make it, and you want to get down there and kiss the guy.
Right. I mean, yesterday at halftime, he picks up a who in the league can pick up a technical foul at halftime? That's what happened to Marcus Smart yesterday. He came out for the third quarter, and Oklahoma City was taking a free throw because Marcus Smart somehow, defying all odds, picked up a technical foul at halftime. But then what did they do with 6 seconds left in the game, and his team up by 3 points, he makes a phenomenal steal.
Yep.
And they seal the game.
Yep.
So he's a Jekyll and Hyde of that team. But obviously, I think a lot of players on that team look up to him because of his effort.
Yeah.
His effort can never, even though sometimes he makes bonehead plays, his effort can never be questioned, and he lays it all out. He's like a football player. He's on the floor. He's making. He's just an effort guy who sometimes makes great plays and sometimes makes bonehead plays. But at the end of the day, you want him on your floor late in the game because he's capable of doing what he did yesterday against Oklahoma City, making a big steal with 4 or 5 seconds left in the game to secure a victory. So. But he is a maddening player. You know?
I love that description.
You know, he mentioned like, you know, the way he runs around. I just thought of it. My high school coach told me I play like a bull in a china shop. And if you watch Marcus, the way he flies around the court, that's what he is. He's the bull in the china shop.
He really is. He really is. But would you really trade him for anybody else? I think he's such a big part of that team. Go into the garden as I do, Tim. The players, his teammates, absolutely love him.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know he's going to sacrifice his body and sacrifice. He's become a much better passer this year too. I'm sure anybody watches the Celtics, you guys probably see it enough game. He's become a very good passer. He exhibited that 2 or 3 times yesterday. So
yes, I saw what I was going to mention. There was one pass yesterday that I did catch, and I was like, oh my god! And he came down the court. And I forget who he passed it to, but he looked over at them and said, good play. How to be
yeah,
there.
Exactly. Yeah. He had a great one to Romeo Langford the other night against Atlanta at the Garden.
Yes, that's another one I saw.
A couple that Romeo Langford dunked based on his passing. So, yeah, he's a you know, he can upset you in many ways, but then again, bottom line is you want him on the court. I think Brad Stevens realizes that, and that's why he gives him a lot of playing time.
I hate to break this up, boys, but we got to get going. Mike, we'll talk again very soon.
Yeah, it was great to talk to you guys about hoop anytime. It gets me all excited.
When's your next visit to the garden? Do you know?
Whenever that next home game is, I'm planning to go. And of course, my colleague at the sale, Nick Giannino, did a great story on Michael Carter Williams from Hamilton when he came in with the Orlando Magic last week. So, and that's another guy who's been playing well from the North Shore.
He's been very well received down there.
He's doing a great job. Listen, I don't want to get you guys fined for going overtime here.
Well, we don't have to worry about that. I got Bill Newell waiting to report on a basketball game over in Beverly, so I got to.
Okay, let's go there then.
All right. Hey, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Talk to you later. All right. That's Mike Grenier, formerly of the Salem Evening News, now a freelance writer. I call him sports writer emeritus. All right. So we'll take a quick break. We're going long, and then we'll come back and check in with Bill Newell over in Beverly.
Time.
You come on, for what I pay you? Really? I mean,
like I said.
All right, we'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
All right, we're back for our final segment. Overtime, Bill Newell is at the high school game tonight over in Beverly, Marblehead at Beverly. What's up, Bill?
Well, we got a pretty good game going here. Marblehead had some decent leads of 10 points or so throughout much of this game, but Beverly just closed it out. They closed to within 2 points right at the end of the third quarter. Then they hit a three to start the fourth quarter to take a 27-26 lead, their first lead of the game, just about 20 seconds into the fourth quarter. So that's where we're at. 30 seconds into the fourth quarter, Beverly with a one-point lead over Marblehead. Beverly's qualified for the tournament with their 10th win. Marblehead has already qualified as well with 16 wins. So points were kind of hard to come by in that first half, and now Marblehead has taken the lead back 28-27. And tonight marked the celebration for Haley Anderson of Beverly, who scored her 1,000th point against Peabody Friday night in a loss. So they honored her before the game. We'll have some photos and some other things happening on our website from this game a little bit later on, plus Haley Anderson with Coach Seth Stanchel video with them later on tonight here on the website.
All right, we look forward to that, Bill. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later on.
You got it. See you guys.
Thank you, Bill. That's Bill Newell over at Beverly Girls Basketball in a horse race now with Marblehead. Sounds like a fun game going on and a good attendance there. Any final thoughts here, Coach?
I just want to pass on that the second installment of the
Beer Pod.
The Beer Pod is about to go into our production. I have lined up Ben Geary from Planters. Old Planters Brewery on 1 Rantoul Street in Beverly, and we'll be doing some pictures, a short video, and an audio interview with Ben coming up later this week, and right. Then I will download it, and you guys can post it.
So we'll have a separate post on that. We'll also have Tim on Connections on Thursday, I hope.
I'm working.
That's the plan.
Working.
Well, I know, but if you get the interviews done and posted, I can take that off.
You
can do the audio interview.
Oh, all right, okay.
I'll have that.
Oh, then maybe I should provide another little segment on beer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, yours. All right. So anyway, and tomorrow, don't forget, the focus is sort of going to be on New Hampshire tomorrow. We'll be talking with Drew Russo out of Lynn. He's going to be up, I believe he's with, you know what, I shouldn't guess here. I think he is with the... Oh boy, the Bernie Sanders. Oh God, I haven't. Oh no, he's with the Warren campaign. He's working with Senator Warren, Drew Russo, and John Penaloza. If I have that right, no, Penaloza. I'm sorry, John Penaloza. We're talking with Josh Arnold about Bernie Sanders' campaign up there. We'll talk. Bill talks with Mike Schultz about the overall picture, and I talk with Salem Mayor Kim Driscoll about that as well. And she has come out in favor. And what do you call it? Endorsing? Mm. She has endorsed Joe Kennedy for the United States Senate. Mm.
Oh, I have to do a quick shout out to my name is Joe in India across the street. I told them, you know, they weren't quite aware of what we do here on Monday nights, so they took the card. They said they're going to chime in. So hi guys, how you doing? And hopefully that they brewed their first batch of beer yesterday.
Okay, I don't know if you read the fine print in the contract, but in your Beer Pod contract. Sample? You're supposed to do sample to the, to the producer.
I can provide that, but you're going to have to wait several weeks because it was just that they brewed it yesterday, they bottled it, and now it has to sit for 2 weeks while it ferments, and then they have to bottle it, and then it has to sit and age for a couple more weeks.
All righty, sir. Thank
so
you.
When it's ready.
Okay, that's Tim Kearns. Of course, you heard from Bill Newell. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. I'm Rick Moore. And don't forget, tune into Connections tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. and North Shore Today every day here on MSO, the region's only daily news podcast. This is North Shore Sports Night, and this is MSONewsSports.com. Bye-bye.